Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Radio Ma'arif, broadcasting from the holy city of Qom in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And this is Question and Answer. We have as our guest, Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Abbas Ali Barati, who will answer all the questions that we will be putting to him today. And I hope that you will find this issue of the show very exciting and interesting. Dr. Barati, welcome to Question and Answer.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much. I'm grateful to be with you and your listeners in this program.
The first question I'd like to ask you is about revelation. We have a question that's asked, what do Muslims believe about revelation? And how is it different to how the Christians believe about revelation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Revelation, as we can understand and as it is explained for us in Islamic heritage, is that there are messages for human beings, for mankind, Allah's decrees, Allah's will, and these are transmitted to mankind by messengers of God. And also they receive this message sometimes directly and sometimes indirectly by angels of God, archangels of God. They carry this message from divine presence to the prophet, to the messenger first, and then the messenger, when receives this message, carries it, transmits it to the mankind. So this is revelation. But concept of revelation in deep and profound meaning is not clear, and we are not aware of it. No one of the scholars or philosophers could understand what is the essence of revelation. But as a simple and common definition for revelation, we can say this.
There's a message. It's a message sent from God, Allah, to a messenger or prophet by means of an angel.
Of course. Because it is not possible that God delivers this message to every individual or even to the society, to the community. But we need an intermediator. And this intermediator is the prophet, the messenger of God, which receives the, he has the qualities, he has the abilities for receiving this message and being intermediator between God and people.
Now, what is the difference between how Muslims look at revelation and how Christians look at revelation?
In my opinion, there is no difference in because maybe later on some definitions or some theological works are done, but in essence of religions, three religions, Abrahamic religions, there is no difference.
They all believe in the same process?
Yeah. The same angel which carries the message for Jesus Christ is carrying the message for Muhammad and is carrying the message to Moses also. So Angel Gabriel is the carrier of message from Allah to the messengers, these three messengers, and then messengers are carrying it to the people.
Now, some say that, for example, Prophet Jesus is the himself is the word of God, that he himself is the revelation, you know, and, you know, that they say it is not a good idea to compare Prophet Jesus with the Prophet Muhammad. You know, one should compare Prophet Muhammad to Hazrat Mary, right? And the Quran, the Prophet Jesus, in the sense that the revelation descended on the Prophet, this is the Quran, right? And he brought it forward. And the word of God descended upon Mary, and she brought it forward. What do you think about that?
Okay. I told you that these kind of words and ideas and beliefs are what Christians made it or expressed it or presented it later. It is not the core of Christianity, the early Christianity, what Jesus, peace be upon him, and our prophet brought for people. This is not what he told. And even Quran criticizes Christians for this. Quran says you give a kind of divinity to Jesus. Okay? So ask Jesus himself, do you believe in this kind of divinity for yourself? أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ. I didn't tell them to worship me. I didn't tell them to make an image or picture or concept for me that makes me like a god. Yes, word of God is possible, but word of God is a creation of God. Everything is created by God, could be word of God, especially if this creation is going to express for people, to give enlightenment and illumination for other people is a word. But if they mean by this word of God, Kalimatullah, logo, if they mean of it that Jesus has a nature different from nature of other people, of ordinary people, so this is not true, and this is not accepted and endorsed by God himself and by Jesus himself and Mary. They don't agree with it. Yes, there are some works done as theological works in Christian world, but I refer to it. Yes, but we cannot attribute them directly to revelation or to God himself or even to Jesus himself, because Quran says that you Christians, even if you look at Jesus in Bible, as he is introduced in Bible. In Bible, numerously, repeatedly, Jesus is named as Son of Man, mm-hmm. not Son of God. Mm-hmm. So this is the difference.
Right. Now, what is the difference between revelation? When we say revelation, we mean wahy in the Arabic word.
Yeah.
What's the difference between revelation and inspiration, ilham?
Okay, there is a common aspect between both of them and a difference. The common aspect is that it is a knowledge coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any effort, without any kind of thinking and making argumentation or research or discovery by man. It is given to the man as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are common in this aspect. Mm-hmm. And the difference is that wahy is upper, right. is greater, is deeper than ilham. Ilham could even contain or include, for example, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in essence of animals or insects like bees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in their essence and nature that they go look for example, honey, look for, they make for themselves houses or, for example,
dwellings or whatever.
Dwellings and such as this. This knowledge is also coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a simple knowledge and ordinary knowledge for this life. But wahy is a knowledge granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contains systems of life. Lifestyle or Sharia or law or regulation could stay and prolong for centuries or, for example, forever. Everlasting
right.
regulations and systems for life is called wahy. Wahy is not for simple things, or especially when we want to separate them, when we want to discriminate between them, recognize them, what is ilham, and what is wahy, and what is the difference? Wahy is normally used, even wahy could be used for simple knowledges like ilham. But mostly, most important meaning of wahy is what includes deep and everlasting knowledge, knowledge for basic systems of life, sharia, qanun, or, for example, law, or even beliefs, creeds, worldview, ideology, different things that people need, educational system, all of the needs of people as religion, as path, as way of life, is called wahy.
Do angels bring ilham? Like the angels, you say angels bring wahy. Huh? Do angels also bring ilham, or the ilham comes through another source, another way?
Ilham, as according to my knowledge, is used mostly for the knowledge gifted to man by Allah directly. Mm. There is no name of
there's no
angel
intermediary.
Here.
Yeah, no angels. Or
yeah.
Now, could angels appear to other than prophets?
Why not? Like in the story of Mary, you told that, and Quran says that فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Gabriel emerged for Mary as a, for example, man, mm-hmm. as a, for example, old or a complete man. Mm-hmm. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Why not? Mm-hmm. In different ways, for example, like in dreams, like in, for example, some inspirations, they could emerge for people.
Okay, so now an angel, let's say, for example, appears to Hazrat Mary, right?
Yeah.
And he brings her a message.
Yeah.
He brings her some information.
Yeah.
Would we call that wahi? In the sense that, for example, we say that wahi or revelation is an angel bringing a message from God to a prophet, right?
Yeah.
Now we have an angel here bringing a message from God to a woman. Mm. What's the difference between that and wahi?
Also, it could be called wahi, and in Quran is used the term wahi for this kind of emerging and message brought for people like وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضَئِهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ means that we gave a knowledge to mother of Moses, but mother of Moses is not a prophet by this meaning, but received some kind of knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can call it even ilham or wahi. Mm-hmm. These are common areas between ilham and wahi.
I see. La ilaha illallah al-malik al-haq al-mubin. La ilaha illallah al-malik al-haq al-mubin. La ilaha illallah الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين. Okay, the second question is, some person writes in and says, Assalamu alaikum, I reverted to Islam, and then I went back to not believing. Now I want to revert back to Islam again. Can I revert back to Islam if my full intention is to live the rest of my life as a Muslim?
Why not? Allah always accepts people and refutation of his servants and creations. Even 100 times, if you want to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent to him, Allah will accept you. Allah is merciful. Anytime you can come back to him.
Right. Well, what about somebody, for example, where this is becoming habitual? It's almost like, they're not sincere. You know, today they're Muslim, tomorrow they're not. The day after they're Muslim and they're going through this. Is this similar? I mean,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the doors are open.
Uh-huh.
But the result depends on the percentage of sincerity
right.
of the person. But the doors are not closed.
All right. The next question is, when someone commits a sin, does Allah delay the blessings that he is sending for him? Does sin prevent the blessings from Allah from reaching a person?
Of course. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give a chance to this person to repent. So gives him a minor punishment. Some of minor punishments are like this, like you mentioned. For example, delays or stops the mercy is coming from him to this person till he understands necessity of repentance and comes back to the God. And some of the for example, situations like this when he is deprived from mercy is the direct effect and influence of that sin, that kind of sin. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interfere. Like somebody who drinks poison. Poison has its own effect. Mm-hmm. So the sin itself has this kind of effect which prevents mercy.
Right.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, so sin prevents mercy from coming to you. What makes it easy for mercy to come to you? What should a person do, or what can be done to make it easy for mercy to come and affect that person?
To be merciful. It is a very short tradition from Prophet, peace be upon him, and his household says, Irham turham. Be merciful with people, Allah would be merciful with you. Uh-huh. So any kind of good deeds and good behaviors and rituals and all things that are considered valuable works could ease and could help the mercy to come to the person. Even giving alms, even giving one piece of food to an animal, or for example, a cup of water to a thirsty animal could even ease mercy of Allah and even cause, for example, going to heaven or being rescued from hell. And there are a lot of traditions from Prophet, peace be upon him, in this regard, that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes a lady because she imprisoned a cat in his house and prevented it from eating and drinking for a while. Mm-hmm. And also vice versa. Somebody, for example, gave water to a dog in the desert, and this caused for him release from hell. Mm-hmm. So any kind of mercy or good deeds can ease mercy of God. And even there are traditions from our saints, our imams, peace be upon them. Imam Hassan alayhi salam was passing away in Medina and watched a servant or a worker in a farm is sitting here and eating lunch. And there is a dog sitting in front of him. So he eats one, for example, piece of food, then gives another to this dog. Imam was surprised, came to him and asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, son of Prophet, I am a servant here. I have a contract. It is very difficult for me to do my contract. And I wish my master here releases me and forgives me for this kind of contract. And I became free, can go another place and work in better condition. So I am praying to God to give me this success. So this is a hungry animal. I am nourishing it and wishing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me what I need." Imam told, "Okay, I will do what you need." Then went to the master and asked him to forgive this man of the contract because it is very difficult for him. And also bought the garden, the farm, and gave this man as a gift. He wanted to show him that this is reward for a kind of good deed, even to animals.
Right. Right. Now, I mean, you have some people who have a problem, you know, they want to increase their wealth, for example, you know, or they have some problem in their family and they get dua. Somebody says, "Read this dua in this Mafatih al-Jinan or whatever, you know, and this dua is supposed to help you." And they read this dua, you know, maybe, okay, they say, "Read it for 7 days. Read it for 7 days and nothing happens," right? What prevents the effectiveness of this dua from reaching them?
Okay, that's another matter. Effect of dua depends on many factors. Mm-hmm. If some of them are not existing, maybe the...
Could sin be one of them, for example?
Yes. Sin is a kind of prevention from, for example, acceptance of dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is mentioned in traditions and verses of Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed that dua is effective. But there are some obstacles for dua. Maybe you can count them to 40 or something like this. That if one of them are existing, these obstacles prevent your dua to be accepted or delays it till you remove, omit this obstacle.
I see.
Yeah. And but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran clearly and by some kind of insistence and emphasis that أَعْتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you everything you demand. وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ and different verses in Holy Quran that dua is effective and it is guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are different verses in Quran and traditions from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that dua is effective. But also there are some obstacles. If you remove these obstacles, or even if you do something that strengthens this dua, or is the effect of it, they will change the result for
I
you.
I see. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Somebody asks, my question is about how to come out from under the influence of shaitan, how to abandon bad habits, how to stop having bad worries, thoughts, planning, work, and intentions. This person, I think, is asking about basically things that go through their mind, their head, you know, they say waswas, obsessions. And how do you get, clear thoughts? How do you clear your thoughts of bad habits and thinking and bad planning and getting shaitanic type of thoughts in your mind? How do you do that?
Okay. Some people think that Satan has, for example, big power and a big influence upon man, and we are really captives or slaves of Satan and in his prison and could not release ourselves. This is not true. According to Quranic view, Satan is not so powerful or so influential on you and me and others. Quran says clearly, "Inna kayda shaitani kana dha'ifa." Shaitan's tricks and deceivings are so weak, you can break them easily. So the power is with you. The decision is with you. If you decide to don't allow them, you can do it easily. So you have to have self-confidence first, and then seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our father, Adam, in the first day of creation of insan, of mankind, angels of God asked him, "Oh God, you created this man, and he is weak apparently, and Satan has different ways to approach him and to deceive him. So how he can be saved and rescued from this? Because Satan asked permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be alive till the day of judgment, and to be able to approach man from four directions, right and left and front and behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, I left for man two other directions. Four are with shaitan. Shaitan has four ways to approach. But man has two other directions. Up and down. Mm. Up, look at me and pray to me and seek help and assistance from me. I will help him. Directly. And down, to bow to me and to worship me. This also is a kind of fighting against Satan, a kind of weapon against Satan. Satan, even when he is taken to the court in the day of judgment, and all of the people complain against Satan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says, ask him, he should answer you. Satan comes and says, what's the problem? What's the matter? I had no power upon you to force you to do sins. Only I invited you, and you accepted. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited you. Why you didn't accept his invitation and accepted my invitation? That's your fault, not my fault. Oh, I only invite you. Now, and he's right. Yes. He's right. Really, he has no power. Mm. Cannot force. Cannot make a kind of compulsion upon people. Mm. There are different invitations. Most important one is invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And different invitations. One of them is invitation of Satan.
Right.
Okay, you have the option to accept this invitation and go to the party or don't go.
Right.
That's up to you. So, Satan is not so powerful. But what makes him powerful? We are making him powerful. We are obeying him. We are strengthening him, empowering him. And even thinking that he is very powerful helps him. No. We should have self-confidence and confidence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fight him and his deception. This is very good. So the first step for this dear listener is to depend on himself and know the amount of power and ability he has and the amount of weakness of Satan, and does not think that Satan is so powerful. So you have your control upon your mind. Your mind is like your horse. You can drive it to here or there or stop it or even tie it. That's up to you. Try to control your minds and don't let the Satan to... And even seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, there are teachings about this, trainings about this. Even to Prophet, peace be upon him, says, وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِكَ يَا رَبِّ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. O Allah, I seek refuge to you, I seek refuge to you from Satan's, and I seek refuge to you to attend my works and my decisions and my minds. Push them away for me. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. Because of that, it is recommended when you want to start a work, before saying even بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, you say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And intend this, be serious in this, to seek refuge, to flee from Satan and his deception to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his guidance and help and support. So you are accepted easily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you refuge, and you become a refugee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you are under support and help and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Satan never can resist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his power.
Now when I read this question, one very important word stands out for me, which is habit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that this might even be one of the key factors in this person's problem, right? Habit.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we become habituated to, for example, thinking the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, we become habituated to doing the wrong thing. You know, people could become habituated to be always late for work, for example, or become habituated to, let's say, from things like smoking cigarettes to thinking the wrong way. Huh? What does the Islamic discipline, the Islamic science of akhlaq. Tell us about breaking habits and changing our habits.
Mm-hmm. Habits are normally used for a kind of manner is, for example, existing for man without intention, without a kind of effort or education or training or hard work. It comes easily to us because of, for example, repeating a work. It comes a habit for us. It is unintentional.
Right.
But akhlaq and khuluq and ethics and manners are those who made for us or we make for ourselves by intention, by effort, by exercise. Mm-hmm. So this man, this listener, I don't know, is a man or woman, should try to overcome his or her habits and change them to manners, to intentional manners, to directed manners, to ethics, to education. To education, should put himself or herself under disposal of education, right, instead of habit.
Right.
Habit is unintentional.
Or maybe training is better, yes, is a better word. They're training.
Unguided, yeah, unintended, right, undeveloped manners. But if they become developed and planned manners, which are gained by education,
right,
this will solve the problem.
I see.
Like, for example, you have a piece of land. It is undeveloped. There are some, for example, plants, something there.
Weeds and so forth.
Weeds are not, yeah, useful. You develop this piece of land by gardening or by building or by farming. Then when you come to this piece of land, you find there is mind, there is planning, there is knowledge, there is technology behind it. It is used very good and, for example, wisely. Mm-hmm. So habits of man are like this. You can leave them like that piece of land. You can develop them. Try to develop your manners and habits. And it is possible, especially for a Muslim, for a faithful Muslim, which no one of his deeds is out of control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of control of his religion, of his faith, of his ethics. So try to develop the habits. It is possible. Don't be a slave of habits. Mm-hmm. Be master of habits. Your habits are your deeds, are your creation. You are creator of them. So control them. Be supervisor. Be a master of them, not a slave of them. Mm-hmm. That's the matter.
Right. Okay, thank you, Dr. Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Abbas Ali Barati, for being with us today. It was a very enlightening and interest-raising conversation, and I hope to have another session with you again.
Okay.
Thank you all who are listening. And remember to contact us if you have any questions. Contact us at Radio Ma'arif. That's RadioMaarif @irib.ir. So that's Radio Ma'arif at irib.ir. RadioMaarif. And if you would like, you could also call us at 0098-251-291-0551. That's 0098-251-291-0551. Thanks for joining us, and until next week, see you on Question and Answer at Radio Ma'arif, broadcasting from Qom, from the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allahu ya Hannan, Allahu ya Dayyan, Allahu ya Hannan, Allahu ya Subhan. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Oh. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdalillah.